Here we go. We've now got Gerald Fitzgerald live from North Ballarat. Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning. Is that you, Jim?
That's me, yes. And we've got Kane with us.
Morning, morning, Gerald. How are you?
Yeah, good, Kane. Good to hear you, boys.
Well, welcome to season 2009 on the Saturday Morning Footy Show. Reigning premiers. Has a nice ring to it, Gerald.
Yes, of course. That's last year. And that's the changeable nature of the VFL means that your teams can vary, particularly those that are in a relationship or in an affiliation with an AFL club. We just want to try and get better and see if we can learn from the great models of Springvale in the 90s and Sandy of this decade.
Well, I guess you say the alignment, but I guess being partially aligned allows the Roosters to really concentrate on building up their list. And looking at the departures, there was a couple of senior footballers that left, but your core team from the grand final stayed on, and then you added Clinton Benjamin and Tristan Cartledge. I mean, when Cartledge and Big O were going tandem in the ruck, they were the most dominating ruck duo in the competition. So to have them actually listed players and they can play the full season have really set you guys up for what could be another tilt at definitely the top four.
Well, it's more... we felt all along that we need to try and strengthen our own VFL list here because, again, if you learn from those two clubs that I've spoken about over those two decades, the thing that I thought they were very, very good at and probably the best at in the competition was their retention of their core group of players. Now, that doesn't mean you still don't look to freshen up and try and get better, but as a club, we've been very, very happy with our ability to retain our core group, as we call it, and hopefully with a couple of additions we can be a bit better, and that's what we're hoping to be better. Now, we've been patchy this year so far, so we've got a lot of work to do.
Well, I guess, yeah, a disappointing start to the season when you took on Port Melbourne, and Port Melbourne really dominated the contest and won quite comprehensively. But last weekend, to take on Sandringham at Sandringham, you're building up a pretty good rivalry with that football club. They've changed alignments, but they're still the core Zebra players are still there, so that's a good rivalry. And to get one back up against them at home in those sort of conditions was a good win last week.
That's right. Yeah, Well, as we said, we've got a lot of respect for the way they go about their operation, and to have been so strong and so successful over such a long period of time is a credit to their organisation. So to travel to Sandy and beat them at home is always a big challenge, and it was a very, very important win for us. But the important thing now is that we go to Melbourne today and we play Collingwood, who... There were two from three and who played some very, very good football in all of the games that they've played so far. And even though Williamstown beat them fairly easily, we thought that Collingwood were terrific early in that game.
Well, I guess looking at your opponents this weekend, you say travelling back to Melbourne, one of the disappointing things about the start of the season is Eureka Stadium, or the home of the Roosters, isn't quite ready to go for senior action just yet.
No, it was always going to be a big ask. Until you actually see the ground, and any of our listeners that are coming through Ballarat, it's only a moment or two off the bypass, so come and have a look. It's going to be an outstanding surface. It was completely redone.
Okay.
The whole lot taken off, new soil, new drainage, new sprinkler system, recycled water, and the turf was laid out in about 18-inch strips. So we got some very, very hot, nasty weather in January, as we all know, and that certainly set the ground back. So it was always going to be a lot of pressure to have the ground ready for the launch of Eureka Stadium and the ABC televised game in Ballarat today, but we had to make a decision that the ground wasn't ready and it just needed a bit more time.
Well, next weekend you play the Bendigo Bombers at Central Park in Stalls. So when do you think, will it be ready for the next home game after that?
Yeah, that's the anticipation, Kane, at this stage. Yep.
So that'll be, round seven against the Casey Scorpions?
Yes, that's the one.
Okay.
That we're very, very confident that it'll be ready to go. The Stall game was always factored in. We're trying to take the VFL competition out into the regions, and showcase the competition out and about, a bit like the TAC Cup people do.
Yep.
And that was successful when we went to Stawell a couple of years ago, particularly playing sort of our provincial rival.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was always factored in. So hopefully the ground will be right for the Casey game, yes.
Now, how was the pre-season? Obviously, the expectations to succeed, Jared. I know you're an astute coach and you wouldn't have let the boys get too far ahead of themselves, but how was the pre-season? Was it any different to previous years, knowing that you've come off such a fantastic performance in 2008?
We're going through a unique phase in our operation. There's no doubt about that. And in many ways, it's uncharted waters for us. We're not quite sure how to handle this next step, except that we've all said that one thing we want to do is try and get better. That's every one of us, from top to bottom. So where that leads us again, who knows? I still think I would rather deal with the challenges of the self-belief and confidence from a premiership than the three times that we'd previously been and fallen short. So dealing with confidence, self-belief, but making sure everybody's working hard to be better again, that's the challenge that we face with our own internal expectations.
Well, going back to reflect on the grand final just a moment, there was the build-up of Port Melbourne being the standalone club and I guess that just the importance of the victory for North Ballarat, the sense of relief and then celebration from everybody at that football club, you have to witness it at Telstra Dome to actually understand just the importance of that victory for the North Ballarat Roosters. But it was a fantastic night. Everything seemed to just go right and the boys were switched on and it was just a fantastic performance. It was 22 contributors on the night. And if you have that in any side, you're generally going to be competitive or win the game of football. It was a fantastic night for the North Ballarat Football Club.
Yes, it was. And the support that we're getting from the city and the wider region now is fantastic. As you know, I coached the club in the early days, in the competition, and we were at that stage growing and developing our support base. Well, to see where it is now. And I think that the good thing is now that the city, and I think that's been recognised by the City of Ballarat with the naming rights of Eureka Stadium, recognises that it's got something special here in Ballarat, a VFL team, the best competition outside of the AFL with a team right here in Ballarat. So I think people now have the confidence to know that a country team can win the VFL, and the numbers of people who went down to Telstra at night on trains and buses and the support that's been developed since then has been outstanding.
I think it's the reward on the field was definitely built up by a lot of effort behind the scenes and off the field. One thing that I respect more than anybody about the North Ballarat Football Club is the amount of effort that everybody puts into that local community. It's been going for many years, but some of the examples last year were the gold coin donations and that money going back into the local RSLs and a couple of other local initiatives there. I mean, we spend a lot of time covering the VFL, Jared, but I don't think there's many clubs so community conscious that like the North Ballarat side is. So to get that victory as well really just brought everything together, and it's fantastic to hear that you are starting to get that support behind you. And I think the big word that comes from it is respect. You've earned it by really applying some hard work into the players on the field, but also building up that club off the field. And there's not many clubs more stable than the North Ballarat Football Club, and there's been plenty of talk during the pre-season and even in the latter part of the early part of this season about where the competition's going. But North Ballarat is definitely flying the flag on how clubs should be run, and the success was just a tip of what was been a fantastic foundation.
Well, the footy club in its wisdom appointed its inaugural CEO to be the head of the entire organisation. So obviously the football club is a component of the sports club, and there's many sports involved within the organisation itself. But that appointment was Mark Patterson, and Patto, as we call him, he brought AFL CEO experience when he was the CEO of the Western Bulldogs. He's also had a lot of broad experiences in not only just in football, but in sport via his soccer. He was also general manager of the Victorian Country Footy League, and he worked at the AFL / VFL. So He has brought some fantastic credentials into the business operation as well as the overall sense of sporting operation, but also he's a fantastic community person, and he really understands the linkages and what needs to happen for a club to become a genuine part of a community. He does that well, and he leads us well in that area.
Well, now, I guess looking at 2009, you've mentioned an inconsistent start to the season. Collingwood, you obviously have done some study on them because we broadcast that game against Williamstown, and they were into the game until halftime, and then I guess Williamstown's run really did just provide that backbone. I mean, Guy O'Keefe was fantastic in that second half, kicking 5 goals and had 30 possessions. That sort of, I guess, the extra couple of years pre-season really did get Williamstown over the line against the Pies. But back at Visy Park, where they do play very well, where can you see the Roosters getting across against the Magpies this afternoon?
Oh, well, we need to make sure that our mindset is correct. We thought that Port Melbourne were outstanding in round one, and we thought that we just didn't have our mindset right. I know it sounds terribly basic, but it's an important for you, just your base level of competition.
No, we saw it last week when Port Melbourne took on the Bull Ants. They came out not switched on at all, and you know, they say you got to be, if you're at 95%, you're going to get beaten.
Well, you've got your own KPIs in terms of your effort and your work rate, and if you don't get those right, you're in pretty... What happens then, you're just relying on pure ability, and if the two teams are relatively similarly matched, well, the team that's going harder is going to beat the side that's got less effort. So we've just got to make sure we get to Melbourne and we play as well as we possibly can play, and put as much pressure on Collingwood as we can, because in the three games that they've played so far, my view is that they've played a very, very good brand of football, but we've got to try and challenge that brand of footy with the pressure we put on.
Now, today you're only going to have, looking at the selections here, which is always very open, you're going to have a choice of about 5 Kangaroo-listed players, and the rest will be filled in by a lot of players with premiership experience there, Jared. But how are some of those young Rooster-listed players that add the depth to the squad coming along this year?
Oh, well, you mentioned Tristan in your earlier remarks, and he's still only a young man, and we think Tristan can continue to improve as a player and needs to do that. We're happy to have Stevie Donnell back playing now, and he's had some very serious problems with hamstring strains, so he adds some ability into our forward line that we think he just adds another dimension down there. So that's, whilst they're not young men, they're still relatively unknown to the competition. And Cameron Richardson is an example of a boy who's come through the local football pathway in Ballarat. So, hopefully those boys can continue to improve. But we usually average about 7 or 8 North Melbourne players per game. So, as you know, we've got to make sure we're fairly strong with our own base within our partial alignment. We share the boys with Werribee, as you know.
Well, exactly right. But I guess one thing that North Ballarat have really shown is if you show some of the young players some faith, they can generally come on. I mean, Matthew Sharkey has been a fine example of that. You know, he's one of the best...
He's up 100th game today for the club too, which is interesting.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, okay. Well, he spent some time on injury. He was joint best and fairest last year, but he's a prime example of just what does when you show some faith, Jared, because we've seen Matthew's development as a footballer, and, you know, you see someone like Liam Picken, who's gone from a top-quality VFL player last year to all of a sudden get onto the rookie list and given an opportunity to step up. It goes to show someone like Matthew Sharkey can't be that far away.
Because
he's fantastic at times for that back line. He puts his body in where some players don't, and he always manages to get the fist in, but he goes about his game fairly. And, you know, he's a great setup player for you guys. Not so much a barometer. I look at someone more like Roach like that, because when Roach is playing well, the ball's usually free-flowing for the Roosters. But when Sharkey, every week, it's 100% commitment from a player like that.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the other boy who's now perhaps having his third game in our back six is Jackson Hall. And Jackson has come from Gippsland Power, where he was rated very, very highly. He was a leader of that particular group in his time. He's one of those boys that was around the mark to be drafted, or indeed rookied. he's just missed out, but his attitude's very, very strong. And he's hopefully a boy that we can continue to develop, because if we can develop a player like Jackson Hall to become maybe another Matthew Sharkey, well, that means that our transition from boys coming into the door to developing and learning how to play is quite sound.
Well, Jared, I know you're probably busy getting prepared to come make the journey down to Visy Park this afternoon. We'll be broadcasting the game, so if anyone you see staying back at North Ballarat, make sure they tune in online to us. But, look, fantastic to speak to you once again to kick off the season 2009, and I'm sure we'll speak to you again during the program.
Good on you, boys, and thanks again for your great coverage and your support of the competition. We appreciate it.
Fantastic, Jared. Thanks for coming on the show. Jared Fitzgerald there joining us on the Saturday morning VFL football show, Jimbo. Always great to have a chat to him. He loves his football, and, it's great positive to speak to somebody like that, because the Roosters have really, done the hard yards in terms of building that football club up, as I mentioned. So the premiership last year just topped it off, and I didn't want to say it, but, the premiership favourites once again in 2009, and the North Ballarat train's just starting to get their juices together. I think their win last week will just spike them to go further. They lost round one, then had the bye in round two, so I think North Ballarat are going to be pretty strong this afternoon against Collingwood. But Collingwood have a lot of players in that lineup there as well. So Goldsack coming back into the VFL lineup will add some depth to their back line. So Matthew Sharkey brings up his 100th game. That's congratulations, Jim. That's where we stand in terms of the VFL, Jimbo, at the moment. But one thing I'd have to put your hands up and congratulate AFL Victoria was the introduction of the 23rd player rule. Last weekend we saw four players obviously represent each side, one player represented each side of four play, and a lot of them were pretty impressive.
They held their own. Yeah,
Josh Capone. Yep.
And they got game time, that was more important.
Yeah.
Could have just sat him on the bench and said, we'll give you a run 5 minutes here and there. And
we should have asked Jared Fitzgerald about that, who would they be using as their 23rd player this afternoon.
It'd be interesting to see if it's the same player each week, whether they're going to rotate it, try a different player here and there.
Well, Scapone's been listed in the Port Melbourne lineup once again.
Well, he played well. He played better than most of the others in the Port Melbourne.
Well, he put his body in sometimes, didn't he?
Yep.
Power's listed there for the Northern Bullants. That's two I can confirm. And I thought the most impressive of the youngsters that came through was the one who played for Frankston. I'm just trying to pick his name here out of the list. He was the big ruckman.
Yep, you've got my list there. So.
Yeah, Casbolt was kid. Having a look at the results I've got there. So Casbolt, I can't see him listed this week, though. That's a little bit of a shame, because he was a big ruckman. I thought he did some pretty good efforts down in that last line of defence when he was under some pressure. So Frankston might be choosing someone different there.
Yep, that's what I meant. They could be trying a rotation, trying different types of players.
Well, Casey Scorpions don't have their young player, Patty. He was the player that played for the Casey Scorpions last week. I can't see him listed there. So it wasn't just for round three. I think it is for a majority of the season.
It's for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
and there's different criteria for certain stages of the season where they can choose their players from.
So we'll have to watch that with interest during season 2009.
Maybe they could expand it to two players, I don't know.
Well, exactly right.
I mean, if it's a success for one player, they could double the success by having two players available.
It'll be interesting to see what sort of crowd we get out at Visy Park this afternoon. One thing you'd have to be impressed with is the rise in some of the crowds that are getting out to the VFL this year.
Yep. I've been impressive with the Collingwood crowds.
Yeah, Collingwood have gone up 100%.
Yeah, last year they were very, very, left a lot to be desired, but this year they've been, we can actually see them in numbers rather than, sprinkled around the outer.
I have to, one disappointing thing about it is, though, and I know it costs money and there's not a lot of money going around at AFL Victoria at the moment, is you're going to have games at Visy Park. It has to cater for the people that are going to be there. You don't see active people selling food, or you don't see... Even records are hard to get. I think there's one gate open to the public, and that's on the outer side. Now, obviously, there's a big construction part at Visy Park, which makes it a little bit difficult for people access anyway, but they've still got three grandstands open.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Northern Bullants, I'm sure tomorrow, will probably have their barbecue going to try and raise some funds, because that barbecue's very popular, and that's great for the Northern Bullants there. They've got the community in mind. But this is AFL Victoria's responsibility. They're going to have hold games at a neutral venue like Visy Park. It's all well and good you've got the security to open the gates and someone to go and open the locker rooms and make sure the balls are pumped up. But you've got to make sure the crowd are catered for. But otherwise, people will stop turning up, and then it's just going to be a waste of time being at Visy Park. I reckon the last two times we've been there for Collingwood games, there would have been in excess of 1,500 people there.
And most of them got into the ground late.
Well, the first time they did. The second time wasn't as bad, but yeah, I've never seen so many people on Visy Park having a kick of the footy or going around the huddles, and that's for both teams.
That's right.
So it's time that the AFL Victoria takes some responsibility of actually running that venue if they're going to hold games there, and at least have one stand that's going to be selling records, and at least have one. Bring up Mr. Whippy and get him down there if he's hot dogs and ice creams. At least give him some nutrients. Like, what do? You've got to stop on the way and bring in your own food all the time. Well, that's not the way it's been done. That's revenue money that the clubs could be generating.
That's right.
Maybe it's the club's responsibility. Maybe Collingwood need to understand that actually their crowd are going, and you can imagine their crowd are going to go again today because they played last night and they're all still fired up from the win. Well, go and let them buy a pie. Let them buy a hot dog. Because there's too many people going to these venues, or just Visy Park in general, because the other venues are very well catered for. Even in the tricky conditions, you could still get food at Frankston and the Northern Bullants, as I mentioned, with their barbecues. It's time something's done at Visy Park, because people will end up not going. They won't bother going, because as much as it's enticing to have a kick of the footy and listen to Gavin Brown get into his charges and get up and see the Collingwood players so close, which you don't get to do at AFL level, I just can't see that idea working for the rest of the season or being sustained with the same level of crowd. You build momentum, you got to keep the public happy. And it's important that something's done about it, because if it continues to happen, I just can't see the crowds rocking up in the numbers that they are. And we need to generate more support to keep this competition alive. They mightn't have a major sponsor, the VFL, at the moment, but if you get more crowd and more generated interest in the competition by itself, the sponsors will come. Let's go through today's games and our final thoughts and selections on them, and some of the selections in the senior lineup. We've got Coburg versus the Casey Scorpions.
Yeah, well, Coburg have got their Richmond contingency. They'll be playing 16 players. I've got Chris Weaver's review here.
Do you want to go
preview,
through?
Sorry.
I don't have access to this week's ladder, but...
Anyway, Coburg will have their 16 Richmond players in their lineup, and the Casey Scorpions aligned with Melbourne. I'm preaching to the converted here, so I really shouldn't say the obvious. Coburg Tigers played very, very ordinary last week, but they opened up really well in round one. It was at round two when they absolutely thrashed Geelong. And the Casey Scorpions, they've been improving. They're the big improvers. They've improved each round. So, sorry, I'm going with Coburg.
I know there's an extended list for Richmond's game on Sunday. Having a look, they could actually have a full list of players that aren't listed at Coburg, depending on who's selected there. They've got Thursfield coming back from injury. Sylvester's on the rookie list at fullback. Connors, Cousins, Vickery at centre-half for the young Tyrone Vickery, who was picked number 8. Kane Pettifer returning from injury. Schultz, Simmons still can't get a run. Gudis, who was the player that was going to keep Ben Cousins off the list, but didn't end up finding a spot, did he?
He did. He got
on the rookie
up.
List.
He got picked up.
Okay. Yep.
So he wasn't lost to the system.
Well, I think that lineup will just be too strong this afternoon to take on the less experienced Casey Scorpions.
But they did get beaten last week. Unfortunately, they didn't play as well as they should.
Well, Box Hill is always a tougher task at home.
It is obviously the. Box Hill Mustangs, Box Hill Hawks, call them what you want, are the big improvers since last season.
Collingwood versus North Ballarat. We mentioned we've gone through that game with Jared Fitzgerald. It's a shame we didn't get Simon Atkins on to talk about their game on Sunday, but we'll endeavour to get him on next weekend for any Werribee listeners tuning in. So, Collingwood versus North Ballarat.
Well, I've gone for North Ballarat, assuming, of course, that Collingwood will be undermanned due to Corey and Wellingham not playing, who played last night against North Melbourne. And North Ballarat, they beat one of the favourites for the flag, Sandringham. Sandringham always going to be favourites for the flag while they're still mathematically possible. And after round three, you think they're more than mathematically possible. They absolutely made a meal of Casey in round one. But unfortunately, I think the conditions upset them slightly last week. So North Ballarat for mine. I think Collingwood are playing very well. But... The loss of Corey and Wellingham will will be too hard to get past North Ballarat if North Ballarat are 100%.
Well, I'm tipping the Roosters as well. We've got Williamstown versus Sandringham. You've just tipped Sandringham as the premiership favourites, even though they didn't play in the finals last year.
They were one of the favourites. They always will be. I've gone for Williamstown. Williamstown played very well against Collingwood last week. Was it last week or the week before?
The week before, yeah. Williamstown.
Yeah, they still played
very
well. They
defeated Williamstown.
And the way they
defeated Werribee last week.
And the way they beat Werribee, they absolutely strangled the life out of them. Werribee kicking their lowest score since 2004 when they... I had a cut-off point, 2004 onwards, and 3-6 is their lowest point.
So that was... Is he tipping Williamstown there?
Williamstown there, yep. Yeah, if Williamstown play, if they strangle the life out of Sandringham like they did Werribee, then they should win.
Port Melbourne versus Geelong?
Yep, Port Melbourne should bounce back. Geelong have been very disappointing this year. They picked up pods, and that's about the only positive I can think of at Geelong at the moment.
Well, I'm tipping an upset. I think Geelong will win. Port Melbourne played like a side that are playing in front of themselves.
Yeah, but I reckon they can bounce back from that.
Yeah, but 1 week, bounce back. Yeah. I think they're going to need to bottom out, and I think today could be the day at Tiak Oval.
Rain in run.
Geelong play well at Tiak Oval, and they've got a few more listed Geelong players there if they all get a run. Takura's been okay. Tenace, Gamble, David Johnson's doing some good stuff at the back. Young Tom Gillies coming through at fullback. Varco's been listed there. I don't think he'll play, or Shannon Burns. They'll be playing senior football against Melbourne. So, you know, there's a couple of good players there. Depends what happens with Lonergan. If Lonergan gets selected in the AFL team, that can expose Podsy Adley. But if Lonergan and Podsy Adley play, they are a genuine chance, the Cats.
Last time they met these two teams, Port Melbourne 22-13, 145, Geelong 7-12, 54, 91-point victors. But Geelong did win the previous two encounters, so they've won two of the last three, although they've only won two of the last seven.
I just think Port Melbourne were very disappointing last weekend. Werribee versus the Box Hill Hawks at Buttercut Oval, 2 p.m. on Sunday. You can tune into 3WBC if you want to.
Box Hill, hopefully, you've turned me around. You better have, because if Werribee win after last week's effort against Williamstown, they were very disappointing, 3-6, as I said before. Box Hill undefeated this year, their best start for a long time.
Well, I think for, two or three seasons, isn't it?
No, I think it's long. Their record stood at 1 win and 12 losses. There were already 2 wins and no losses. So a dramatic turnaround for Box Hill early in the season.
Goes down to the inclusion of Brendan Bolton there, their head coach, and some handy recruits. And so, well, Box Hill Hawks, yeah. I'm looking at the two lineups there. Where we don't seem to have their depth. They recruited Pask and Thompson in the off-season. But we mentioned about Nathan Thompson. I don't know if he's more interested in being seen on TV or playing on the footy field. I think at the moment TV's winning out. So the Box Hill Hawks will win that, with my man McQueen Miscamble still getting a game there in the seniors, M&M. And the final game, our broadcast game from 1 o'clock on Sunday, you can tune in to 97.7 FM, your true home of the VFL, or 3ser.org.au, or our new partner, vflfooty.com. Mm-hmm. Make sure you put that one in your favourites, www.vflfooty.com, for home of all your up-to-date VFL news, and you can listen to our podcasts on there. Frankston, will they respond after last week's disappointing result and a disappointing start to 2009? Shannon Grant yet to coach a victory down there at Young Street.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Dolphins, and hopefully they can turn their season around. Marajalani went off the ground with a thumb injury. Northern Bullants.
Yeah, Frankston have been very disappointing in their first three encounters. 0-3 for the season.
Yeah, they looked pretty impressive last weekend, did the Northern Bullants. So we're tipping basically the same there.
The ABC game, we've got to pick I'll go for my usual 180-odd points or something.
You're talking about the aggregate score there, aggregate Jim. You've just started flying numbers at people back at home.
Yep, aggregate score, about 180.
And make sure you text us, 0424 438 415. This is Kane Pollard and Jim Hines. Enjoy your weekend.